The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Hello, Rolien.
Hello, guys. I've always also wondered why it's called Going Dutch. So when you have an answer, please let me know. But I suppose it sounds better than, like, I don't know, going French or
Norwegian.
You know, going
Maltese. Long.
I don't know.
Agreed.
I don't know. Whoever has the answer, send it to me.
All right. If you know, let us know. Why is it called Going Dutch? 34519 or 061-895-1019.
Ro, I've got a feeling that events might have overtaken us and that what we planned to talk about may not be the case. Over to you. Let's see what you start with.
Okay, so for me, what is very, very interesting is strangely not getting a lot of traction in the media is the fact that President Rivlin has apparently said that he's prepared to pardon Prime Minister Netanyahu on two conditions. One is that he steps down and retires from politics, and the other is that he confesses to his alleged crimes. And Netanyahu has yet to comment, as has the Attorney General Avichai Mandelbrot. But this comes where we have another massive case building, and that is the bribery charges
yes.
in a big
yes.
Submarine mm. case. You know, the timing couldn't be more disturbing. It comes, you know, as we basically now know it's most likely we're going to elections unless there's a Hanukkah miracle in the next 6 days. But when the kingmaker Avigdor Lieberman says he's given up, it looks like we're headed to the polls possibly in February. Not confirmed, but highly likely.
Rolien,
and now today we've got this massive case where
yeah.
a former head of the Navy and an ex-top national security official, along with Netanyahu, face indictments for allowing or participating in a bribery scheme for an estimated billion shekels.
Absolutely mind-blowing to think that that sort of corruption could exist in Israel, where it is so unbelievably key to the safety of the state that these things are managed properly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it also doesn't cease to amaze me that we have had throughout our history, because, you know, we're normal, just like every other country. We have politicians who try their hand at corruption and bribery, and they always get caught.
Yeah, that
they
perhaps
always
is the big
get
difference.
Caught. They always end up in the chucky, it's or the slammer. So why even try? You know, the your accounts here, the tax authorities, the you know, they know what you're up to. Don't think you're not going to get caught. You're going to get caught.
Yeah, no, 100%. Just going back to that story about Rivlin, because I think it's really significant about the fact that he will consider pardoning Netanyahu if he resigns. I mean, that is really a very strong case for saying, I don't want to go back to third elections for any reason whatsoever.
Absolutely. And yesterday he yelled at the two of them. He said, the two of you have had no sleep for 2 months. Do you want to go crazy? If you want to go crazy, go crazy. But don't take the rest of the country along with you. And it's very unlike the president to lose his cool. But he lost his cool with both of them. You know, like naughty children summoned to have a bit of a verbal smackdown from the president. And he said to the press as well, he says, you know, both of them, you know, they want to go crazy. And you can almost see the president just, you know, throwing up his hands in utter frustration at what is happening, because we are now in absolutely unprecedented territory. And it's not to say that we can't go to elections in February and have exactly the same result.
So that's what I was going to ask you, just with your interactions with people that you spend time with, will anybody change their vote?
Okay, so now is possibly more interesting. A lot of people, you know, in conversations around the Shabbat table, in the hairdresser, which of course is where all
100%.
Significant political discussion gets
sure.
takes place. Most people, even those who are diehard Likudniks, are starting to say, you know what, it's time for Prime Minister Netanyahu to step down. You know, it's exhausting us. It's exhausting the electorate. You know, it's we've got a lot of threats on our borders, existential. You know, inside the country, we need to sort it out. We don't have time for this tomfoolery. But it remains to be seen, you know, if he does step down and there's still a neck-and-neck result, will whoever wins be able to form a government? That's the crux. The crux is, you know, not who wins, but do they have the ability to form a government?
Yeah, all right. Let's move on to this really interesting story about relations, political relations between Morocco and Israel. I don't know why. I just assumed that they were in place and had been for some time. You always hear of Israelis traveling to Morocco on roots trips. So this was news to me. Is there not full relations between the two?
There's not formal diplomatic relations between the two countries. And U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he's in Rabat. That's the capital of Morocco. He's there at the moment and on his agenda, which is likely to include Iran and the threats posed by Iran, is the possibility of the normalization of ties between Morocco and Israel. You know, there are a lot of Israelis who go to Morocco. We don't have official ties. I think Morocco has the or presents an opportunity for a lot of business to take place. You know, it's a country at the north of Africa where a lot of Israelis come from. A lot of Israelis have Moroccan roots, you know, down the line. And the king is rumored to be very, very fond of his Jewish community. So we're hoping that this will extend to the Jewish state.
Okay, that'll be interesting and interesting to watch, because apparently an announcement is going to be imminent in that regard, or so we're told. And then the most bizarre story of the week. I mean, I've seen this on Amazon. Yeah, we can now buy Birkenau beach towels, I believe.
Before we get there, because that means me dusting off the soapbox from under the desk where it sits. Another country that we've heard who's starting to be open to relations with Israel is Libya. It's a story that flitted across Yediot Ahronot the other day and then flitted out. So, you know, watch this space. But let's get to the e-commerce travesty. I've actually just written an article which will be published sometime next week. But when did it become okay to traffic in genocide or to profit from genocide? The latest outrage is a site called Pixels, which is kind of the middleman for artists who want to promote their art. And apparently on Pixels, up until the avalanche of complaints that they received over the last 2 days, you could buy yoga mats, you could buy mugs, you could buy cell phone chargers, beach towels, and what I found so unbelievably offensive that I don't even have enough words, shower curtains with images of Auschwitz-Birkenau. And sadly, this is not the first e-commerce site to have this.
Who would buy them, Rolene? Who would buy them? Who would buy them?
Do you know what the scary thing is, Kath, is in my research, is one of the things that's worrying is you have nearly two-thirds of millennials in the United States that don't recognize Auschwitz or don't know the history, apart from, I would say, the alt-right and people of absolutely appalling taste, sickos, anti-Semites, and the like. Those are probably the people who are going to buy them. But one of the other sites, Amazon, earlier this week, was selling Christmas ornaments. I mean, does the site of mass extermination scream peace and goodwill to all men, put me on a Christmas tree? Yeah. You know, a couple of months ago, it was Red Banner. Red Banner had skirts with Auschwitz on it. Is this what we want to see coming down the fall runway with the latest fashion? Now, this is, it's sickening, and it is profoundly offensive. I cannot even imagine what a Holocaust survivor is thinking looking at this.
There's food for thought. Rolene Marks, as always, thank you. And it's Thursday already, so next time we'll chat to you will be Monday.
But don't forget, guys, before I say God bless and Shabbat Shalom, please let me know what Going Dutch means.
Okay, so Austin Gibbs has actually weighed in, and thank you so much, Austin. He says the origin of the phrase to go Dutch is traced back to the 17th century when England and the Netherlands fought constantly over trade routes and political boundaries. the British use of the term Dutch had a negative connotation for the Netherlanders, who were said to be stingy. Oh, like Cape Townians. June the 19th, 2011.
Exactly. Wow, I've taken stick here today for the Cape Townian thing. Eh?
You're more Joburg than Cape Town, although you are very, very much Cape Town in terms of your appearance and your cycling.
General
and your
demeanor.
Cycling shorts, yeah. When are you coming on in your cycling shorts, Simon?
Oh, Pearlene's already gone. That is such a sad thing, middle-aged men in Lycra. That is like just so sad.